Hi, and welcome to another episode of Taking Stock Live. I'm Kalila Reynolds, and it's my pleasure to be here with you once again, fresh from the JSC Investor Conference going on right now at the Pegasus Hotel. My guest had to duck out to be with us as well. So let's take a look at what's coming up in tonight's show, followed by what's hot in business. And of course, come on, let's get this money.
Investment firm Blumenhoek Capital has purchased an almost 2% stake in Kaili Group. What was the rationale behind this move? We'll discuss with Chairman and CEO of Blumenhoek Holdings, David Mullings, and the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. The Mosan Jamaica conglomerate is to acquire $1 billion worth of additional shares in Seprod. What implications will this have for investors? The Bank of Jamaica is planning to introduce an electronic Know Your Customer EKYC database later this year. And young market investors are increasing as a result of severe initiatives championed by the Jamaica Stock Exchange. We'll discuss. But first, here's what's hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Digital media company iCreate was suspended from trading on the Jamaica Stock Exchange again. This is the company's second suspension in roughly 4 months. According to the JSC, iCreate was suspended with immediate effect for failure to comply with junior market rules. The specific rules that the JSC cited outline that junior market companies must at all times deal with the JSC in an open and cooperative way and respond promptly to any inquiries the JSC may reasonably make. The JSC says the suspension will remain in effect until iCreate responds to them at a satisfactory level. The company's stock price ended trading at 41 cents. Investment firm Stocks and Securities Limited says it has transferred over $11 billion in client funds to other financial entities. SSL clients were left in limbo for over a year after a massive fraud scandal at the institution left them unable to access their accounts. The company said over 900 client accounts were transferred to other entities. SSL said it's now waiting on clients to provide the required information for more efficient and speedier transfers. Mosan Jamaica is making a bid to become the largest shareholder in the Seprod Group. The Mosan Group is a regional conglomerate that operates mostly in the manufacturing, distribution, and logistics sectors. The company recently purchased 1,630 shares in Seprod, bringing its stake to 50%. According to JSC rules, companies that acquire an over 50% stake in a listed company are required to issue a takeover offer for the remaining ordinary shares. Mosan's bid for almost 14 million shares would cost the company over $1 billion and bring its stake in Seprod to 51.9%. Global debt reached a record $307 trillion in the third quarter of 2023. Global debt is the amount of money that is borrowed by governments, businesses, and individuals worldwide. Analysts say at its current level, rising debt poses potential risks and concerns, especially to emerging and developed economies. The World Bank said that emerging and developing economies have been disproportionately affected by past debt crises. What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
If you're about to start 2024 broke, listen carefully. You need a plan. Your debt may seem insurmountable and your income too small, but you can do it, just like Anita.
I had quite a number of debt from that master's program, and Kalila came to my organization. We had a session where she introduced us to how to budget, how to manage our money, and also how to invest. And through the tools that she gave us on that day, the tools and the templates that she provided me, I was able to set up my budget, organize my life, all my income streams, what my credit card debts are like, and how to manage that. And I was able to get out of debt by March the following year. I took approximately 5 months, and this was something I was struggling with for maybe about a year. And with Kalila's help through the Money Mission, I was able to get through that.
We're gonna plan out the whole of 2024. I promise you that if you stick to the plan, your life will be dramatically better at the end of 2024. Let's get this money. We'll be right back. This segment of Taking Stock is brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency. Insurance made easy. Welcome back. Welcome back. Let me know in the chat where you're joining us from this evening. I see somebody all the way in China. That's Jermaine Davis. Big up yourself in China. Denise is all the way in Panama. Philip says that I'm moving like the prime minister tonight. You're absolutely right, Philip, because the PM is also at the JSE Investor Conference and had to leave to go to the Bob Marley movie premiere, which is tonight. Let me know in the chat who's watching, who's gonna, or at least plans to watch the Bob Marley movie. I definitely want to. Let me see who else we have. Dr. Lithium says we're outside. X-Ray Design says we need a forum like FB or Instagram group for us Jamaican investors. That's exactly what Money Mission was designed to be. I'm going to admit that element of it hasn't quite taken off just yet. And that's some fault of my own because I have some ideas about how to make it work. We definitely need a moderator in there who's going to push content, but that's coming up in the next couple of months. We're going to be really pushing Money Mission towards that exact type of platform because it does have the capability, like a wall where you can post your comments and your thoughts on stocks. We do have a group inside Money Mission for investors. We have another group for entrepreneurs. I'm going to be pushing it a lot harder in 2024 because it's all about the community element, but I'll keep you updated on that. Stronglink says 11 billion returned. Great. We have Javon saying good night, upcoming millionaires and potential billionaires. And Stronglink wants to know what's Jamaica's current debt to GDP. I heard the PM tonight say that at the end of March, did he say 2024? I wonder if I heard wrong. We're going to be at 74% debt to GDP, which is the lowest in 25 years. I just need to double check whether he said 2024, because I thought that I heard 2024. If that's the case, then that is absolutely amazing. Well, tonight's interview, tonight's discussion has been months, if not years, in the making. And it's my pleasure to finally introduce to Taking Stock a man named David Mullings, who is the chairman and CEO of Blue Maho Holdings. Hello, David.
Hello, Kalila. Thank you for having me. And yes, it has been years in the making.
You're properly branded this evening, too.
well, thank you to AC Hotel for hosting me. They provided their innovation room, and this is our home. I really appreciate being here.
And I know you did the same thing like me. You had to jet set off from the investor conference to come to this interview. I appreciate it.
No, this is important. Thank you for inviting me on.
It absolutely is. And I thank you for making the time as well. So for those who aren't familiar with you and with Blue Maho Capital, explain what it is and what you do.
No, I appreciate that. Well, literally 10 years ago today, I was asked to speak at the Jamaica Stock Exchange Conference because I'd served on the Jamaica Diaspora Advisory Board for 3 years representing young Jamaicans in the U.S. And the topic was, how do we get the diaspora to invest into Jamaica, not send more remittances? And so I presented what I thought local Jamaicans should launch. 5 years later, nobody launches it. And Joe Matalon from ICD Group sits down and says, David, you should launch that thing you told us to launch. You're the perfect person. You're the ideal person to do it. So the idea behind Blue Maho Holdings, and Blue Maho Capital is our asset management affiliate. The idea was to try and create a vehicle that would allow the diaspora and then friends of Jamaica and investors who wanted emerging markets exposure to be able to invest in Jamaica and the wider Caribbean. But we wanted the person with $100, not just the person with $100,000 to get access. So the idea is create a pooled vehicle that allows small investors, aka real investors, to own assets across the region, with Jamaica being core to that. So that's what Blue Maho Holdings is doing. We had looked at an ETF. Obviously, you know, I was on Bloomberg talking about this. We looked at an ETF and we looked at the Warren Buffett Berkshire Hathaway model, a holdings company, and nobody can launch an ETF. And I did say that on Bloomberg as well. And the ETF can only invest in publicly traded companies. I think your viewers would agree that private companies are who actually need that capital, and there's a lot of equity capital flowing in. So we are pushing forward with the Berkshire Hathaway model. So it's a holding company domiciled in Delaware in the United States, offices in Orlando and Miami, investing across the region. And then we created an asset management subsidiary, and we'll get more into that about how that is going to be working with the local investor market.
So what's in your portfolio right now? You're meaning Blue Maho's, of course.
So, well, fine. We're going to reveal some things on there that obviously everybody now knows we bought into K-League Group. This is over the last few weeks, and we'll get into why. I don't want to get into the other companies, too many that are in our portfolio, but I put some numbers in here to give you an idea. Our first purchase was in February 2020, and we bought into SCI. So this is Cygnus Credit Investments. It's a group that we really liked on the private credit side. I've known Beresford Gray for more than 12 years. So we own USD and JMD in SCI. We bought into SCI. I'm looking right here, 18 cents US when we first bought in. Our best performer is Epley. We're up some 98%. So we bought Epley itself at $16.90. And then one that a lot of people, a few I spoke to, but most people didn't seem to be paying attention was PJX. So this is Portland JSX. This is connected to Michael Leachin's Portland private equity vehicle. And so we bought it at $7.95. We expect
to see. And Leachin is your mentor, isn't he?
Wait, so he said I shouldn't call him my mentor anymore. I should call him my teacher.
Okay. All right. So Portland JSX, Epley, Cygnus, you said. So right. So these are all publicly listed ones. But you also have some private investments
right.
as well.
And on the public portfolio, we actually have 17 in our public portfolio. It's not time for us to reveal. The benefit of being a private company is that we don't have to share what our portfolio is, except to our investors on our quarterly calls. We meet with our shareholders and explain what we're doing, why we own, what we sold. On the private side, obviously it was in the newspapers a few years ago that we had done a deal with Sprint Financial Services. So we do own just under 20% stake of Sprint. We'll have an announcement related to me joining that board before the end of this quarter. And we're looking forward to scaling that up. I will let them announce the news, but Sprint has raised some money privately here in Jamaica at a valuation that makes me feel very good about our investment. But Sprint for us really was about, once again, companies need invoice financing, for example. They need access to small business loans at reasonable rates. So we're able to raise capital in the United States at lower rates than here and then pass that on. We also then did a private credit deal with MAPEX. So Machinery Parts and Exports is a US and Jamaican company, represents Case IH, one of the largest exporters of agricultural equipment and heavy equipment into the region. So we provided some capital specifically for them to be able to help finance tractors in the Caribbean, starting in Jamaica, so that small farmers who cannot get a loan from the bank to buy the tractor can go to MAPEX and get the loan. So we're looking forward to scaling that up once again. So that's on the private side.
Because people in the comments, every single week, there is somebody, I don't remember who it is, but every week there's somebody who asks about agriculture investment. So whoever that person is, I hope you're watching, check out MAPEX. So David, the one that made the news very recently was the 2% stake that you purchased in KLE Group. Tell us why, what led to that?
It was great. So it's a 1.7% stake that we announced. I will not say if we've bought anything else since, but for me, it really came down to two things. Most people are focused on me talking about the Usain Bolt's tracks and records and wanting to see it come into the United States, go to Canada, UK, elsewhere. And that's actually secondary. That won't happen for at least another year. And they need 6 months to figure out even, first of all, is it going to be a sports bar? Is it a family dining restaurant? What's the price point they want to compete in the US? So there is IP, but it only owns 49% of that. So that's good. For us, it really came down to BESA. Yeah. Gary Matalan, for a number of years, has been telling me about this BESA development. I've been reading their quarterly reports and seeing the ups and downs, the delays. You know, Sagicor is a major investor in that. Yeah. But for me, BESA, which is based in Arauca BESA, is an amazing property. It makes a lot of sense for us to own some of that. But you also want to own the company that has the management business. So K-League Group owns BESA Management, which has a 3-year exclusive contract to manage the property. When it's rented out, they're earning fees. So I've been taught, having worked in private equity and for a hedge fund, owning a management company is always a good thing. So we like that. What really prompted it was a friend of mine, Bianca Wells, was doing the Sea Turtle release, which is right there. You walk through BESA's property. And she sent me some pictures and video because you can walk onto the property. And says, wow, David, did you realize it was this far ahead? So I picked up the phone and called and said, hey, Gary, are any units still available? We are launching a Caribbean property fund here in the United States that is going to allow the diaspora to invest at $10 a share, $100 minimum as a retail investor, and we can generate solicit. I can advertise to them and just prips in a few people. They wanted to write us some checks, and I said, what are you buying? And I said, the first thing is Besser. Look at this. We can find some other properties in Jamaica, Barbados, Bahamas, buy and hold over the next 5 to 7 years. So think of it as a REIT in the United States open to U.S. investors who want to invest and hold property in Jamaica and the wider Caribbean.
Oh, so this particular development, BESA, is targeted at U.S. investors?
Well, BESA is targeted at anybody who wants to buy into BESA. From what I know, is past 80% sold out. So for anybody to buy and hold, and people can come and spend, like Airbnb, but higher end, so they can come and spend the night, the weekend there. We are creating a property fund in the U.S. that's going to invest in the Caribbean. So we're looking to buy property, hold it, generate revenue from that on the commercial side and on BESA is an example. We can do other properties as well, but yes, we are doing a REIT in the US to invest down here and hold.
So is it a commercial property or a residential development?
So BESA would be classified more on the commercial, it's a hospitality play. I mean, think of it. Yeah. So it's literally Point Village in Negril. You can own the unit, but then it's rented out when you're not there. You can make money from that. So is Airbnb at a higher scale? I mean, it would be great if a company like Marriott managed it, for example.
All right, so almost like a timeshare, if you will.
Right, but we don't, but timeshare is, I don't want to say like a timeshare, it's like Airbnb, but at scale, but managed by a professional firm, not individual people managing Airbnb.
And you know, it's an excellent location because the airport just opened there. Ian Fleming.
Well, so it was always open.
Private jet airport.
It was for private jets. No, they have commercial flights thanks to American Airlines landing there. And that's going to transform that area, that St. Anne, St. Mary, Portland is going to be transformed because of major international airlines landing there, starting with Air Jamaica. I mean, with American Airlines.
Sean says, them people here met me can't buy a house in Jamaica, kiss me too. Sean, I think this is a different demographic.
Oh, yeah. This is not to live there. So this is not the one you buy to live in. And we're going to talk about the homes that we want to build to allow you to live in. I'm sure Khalil will get to that soon.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So it is a very exciting prospect. The location is brilliant. I also have personal connection to the location. It's actually where my husband and I met 15 years ago, Ora Cabeza. So I would love to visit that property someday for just for posterity and for memory's sake. Yeah. So, but what's the long-term plan now for Blue Maho? Like, where do you envision this company?
So we've said it on Bloomberg. We've said it repeatedly. And so the idea was simple. We needed to create a vehicle that was publicly traded. So open to retail investors, but then listed on a major U.S. stock exchange. I said that on Bloomberg. I've said that repeatedly. It's been in Black Enterprise. It's been here in the paper. So the goal was always to have a listed vehicle, and that gives liquidity to the investors who come in. But it allows us to do things at scale. And scale in a way that we have not done in the Caribbean. So our goal is to become the first listed vehicle on a major U.S. stock exchange that gives you exposure to the Caribbean, Jamaica, Barbados, Bahamas, and Guyana being the first four that we focus on. And it is NASDAQ because NASDAQ software powers the Jamaica Stock Exchange. And we're excited to finally be able to actually raise. As of 2.5 weeks ago, we are able to raise money via an SEC regulated vehicle using an exemption in the U.S., $10 a share, $500 minimum to invest. We've had commitments from 31 investors, north of $120,000 so far, another $680,000 separate from four investors off the site as well. So we're pretty excited. We know that there is serious traction, and you know, we're targeting getting to $5 million, and that will allow us to build the first 200 homes of affordable housing in Jamaica and Ola Harbor, and that's an $8 million price point. So we're building affordable homes.
$8 million. Which part in Jamaica are you building $8 million house?
Old Harbor.
Old Harbor.
Yep.
What size?
So the one bedrooms is somewhere in the 440 square foot range on I believe it's a 2,400 square foot lot. So it's designed for you to scale up. It's literally a starter home. The group that we've partnered with You know, they've done some 2 bedrooms already and delivered over 47 units. Yeah, phase A sold out in 24 hours. Phase B sold out in 30 minutes. They've not announced phase C of the 2-bedroom units. And this is in the $16 to $18 million Jamaican dollar range. And the 1 bedrooms, the unit has been built already. And so you can't go there yet because we haven't broken ground and announced them for sale, just let you know. But the model unit has already been built. It's withstood the earthquake, no problem. And we're pretty excited to be able to deliver homes at an $8 million price point in Jamaica, where NHT is $7.5 million and Jamaican National is providing the mortgage for that. So we're super excited about bringing that. A total of 700 units can be built on that land. So we'll do 200 in phase A, 250 in phase B, 250 in phase C, and then Bloomer Home moves on to start doing some affordable homes, 2-bedroom and 3-bedroom in Barbados in partnership with the Barbadian government. I was just there in December with them.
How are you able to come in at that price point?
So when you do somewhat prefab, there's a machine, you can buy these machines in countries in like the United States, for example, and they bring that down here. And so you can essentially, it's like Lego, right? So it takes you about 28 days to do it on site. But think of it as if you were to build a home using a modular technology, you can then actually keep the cost down. And I've seen homes for actually less than to build for less than what these guys are able to build this. And they're being built in other countries now. So that it's exciting to bring that technology to the Caribbean to ensure that Jamaicans who live in Jamaica can have affordable homes that they can grow in and add on the rooms and have a decent lot. Because I think that the market, from what I've seen when I visit Kingston every month, is focused on the high-end $20 million, $30 million mm-hmm. apartments on townhomes. And to be honest, that is not affordable. That is not where it's needed. We need 100,000 homes in Jamaica that are affordable. That means they need to be below $18 million if it's a 2-bedroom, preferably below $12 million if it's a 1-bedroom. You know, Barbados needs 30,000 2- and 3-bedrooms in their affordable range. So who is servicing that? Yes, there are some people, but we in the diaspora can bring our capital and invest to help that to get done as well. And we're excited to be part of helping Jamaica itself to develop. It's not about the diaspora buying homes to return into and live. These aren't for the diaspora to buy. These homes are specifically for resident Jamaicans to buy, own, build equity.
So for the person who said that you're contributing to not being able to afford a home, check that. You just said. York says demand. Demand. Absolutely. This is exciting, David, because the demand truly is there. The developers, for the most part, haven't seized the opportunity for houses at that price point. I suppose they feel it's not profitable enough. You said using the prefab method, you'll be able to bring houses to that price point of $8 million for the 1-bedroom, 440 square feet. It's funny that you compared it to Legos, because I know you're a Lego enthusiast.
Yes, I am, but I need to show that Luke, my son, is his birthday this Thursday. He's a bigger Lego enthusiast.
I saw a video very recently, like in the past week, of a Chinese in China. They built like a massive building in 24 hours using this construction method.
Yes. So what would have we need to coordinate for you to go and visit the site and see how they actually put the houses together? I think seeing it gets you to better understand how this put together, why it passed all the safety checks. I mean, this went through a whole NHT process. And finished in the top 5 for what they were building at the time. So I've been very impressed. You know, when my father flew down, my parents are two of my largest investors. My brother, Robert, is a big investor and our operating partner as well. And when dad went with me, the first thing he said was, man, I might need to buy 2. And I said, no, it's not for you guys. I know you want to retire, but they were just so impressed with how spacious inside was. The roofs are angled. It's not a flat roof, so you're not going to worry as much about the heat. It comes with a solar water heater, and then there's a little shelf above the main closet by the room and between the room and the bathroom. So you can put an inverter and then add solar PV to that. So we really want it to be a starter home that you can grow into. But the bathroom is better than the bathroom I have in my house here in Kingston, at the old family home. I'll be very honest. I was a little jealous.
We definitely need to stop by and see what that's about. So there's a lot of interest in the comments. DeGore says, wants to know, what are the steps to take if you're interested in this development, i.e. the one room?
If you need to send us a message, go to bloomahocapital.com, fill out the contact form, and then I can pass you on to the right people. Sales have not started as yet. They've allowed me to talk about it tonight. But we can put you on the list, so as soon as they're ready to have sales get going, we can have ensure that you're first in line. We intend to break ground, hopefully by the end of February, and put something out in the newspaper to announce. There'll be a billboard that will go up right by the site as well. So if you're driving on that highway near Old Harbour, you will not be able to miss where it is. You're going to see a huge billboard that says that these homes are available. Here's a price point. Here's a phone number to call and get involved.
Wow. So we have a few questions, a lot of questions actually in the chat. Strong Link says, I really wondered why this was not here before. Great opportunity for resident middle-class Jamaicans. Great. And then we have Strong again saying, fantastic. Steve wants to know if Canadian diaspora can buy into this investment.
So technically, yes, Canadian can actually buy in. The SEC tends to allow U.S. persons and Canadians to involve. So if you go to islandforward.com, use the information to fill out. And if you have any issues, you can email us via the contact form and reach out to us here. But islandforward.com will have the information, U.S. persons and Canadians. We're not soliciting Canadians. If you happen to go there or look at it, that's fine. We're not advertising in Canada. We can advertise in the United States and generally solicit there. But yes, it is open to you. And then once we're listed on NASDAQ, then anybody can buy into Bloomahoe itself and benefit. So it can be open to resident Jamaicans, for example, and elsewhere. But we're excited. And we will have some things for resident Jamaicans. Ideally, the first one launches on the Jamaica Stock Exchange before the end of this year.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about that very, very, very shortly, because a lot of people want to know about opportunities to invest in Bloomahoe. But you said that you intend to break ground in February. About how soon before you expect them to be available for sale?
So what we want to do is the first 3 months after breaking ground is laying the infrastructure for the one bedrooms. There's infrastructure already for the two bedrooms. There's three deep water wells to provide water to everyone. So that's not a problem. But we need to lay some more infrastructure around sewage, the drainage, the roads. So 3 months for that. And then they start building. And one home takes 28 days roughly. So if we have enough three people, one month per house. So if we can hire enough staff, we could actually start rolling out a number of units. So I would say that we could actually start delivering by possibly the new school year. Yeah, it could be as soon as September.
Who am I? Says, may I go buy four and flip them?
Hey, you are.
Well, Jammy wants to know, will you allow persons to buy more than one?
Yeah, I'll be honest, that will not be up to me. That will be up to our partners who are dealing with the sales. I think part of it really has to come down to what is the purpose of the development. And the purpose is to allow people to live there at an affordable price. It's close to Kingston. When you look at the infrastructure developments around Jamaica over the last 10 years, but especially over the last 4 years, we have to take advantage of that. So I don't know if they're going to let anybody buy more than one, to be honest. But then you versus your sister versus your cousin, we don't know the difference, right? So, but preferably people who live there, not to buy and flip. We really want to have a community where they know each other. The land has been set aside for a school to be built by the government. Land has been set aside for a health center to be built as well. So it really is a community-focused idea, not a buy and flip, to be honest.
So Ashton says the demand will outstrip the supply, and so there'll be a gold rush for the units. People will start camping out to be able to get one. I can see that happening, actually.
Sean, wait, that's funny.
I can barely buy houses and developments for 40 mil. This will definitely get sold out before the houses go up for sale. And then Shellyanne has a more practical question, an investment. Do they operate as a true REIT, giving monthly dividends?
So I love that. So when we create the Caribbean Property Fund in the US, it won't be a monthly dividend, it's a quarterly dividend. But yes, it has to be a true REIT. So we're being domiciled, the Caribbean Property Fund is being domiciled in Maryland, which actually has the best REIT laws in the US. That's what our lawyers have said. So it is a REIT, which means we have to pay out somewhere in the 95% of income range. If we do that, though, it means that we pay no corporate income tax. So you only pay tax at your level. So that's the idea. It's a tax-efficient way to invest from the U.S. into Caribbean properties. On the Jamaican side, we've been in talks with the Special Economic Zone Authority, and we really like the idea of being able to come in and either buy or build manufacturing space, warehouse space, distribution, BPO, and then we hold it for the next 7 to 10 years and we lease it out. And what happens then is that in under Jamaican tax law, we pay no tax on all the income derived from that building. So if you are an investor in the REIT, we get tax-free income on the commercial properties here in Jamaica that are zoned SEZ, and we pay no corporate income tax in the United States, and we're paying out 95% on a quarterly basis. So yes, it would be a true REIT that's focused on dividend income from here in the Caribbean and under US law. So it's really targeted to people outside Jamaica, but Jamaicans, if they want to participate, we can find a way for them to participate in that REIT as well.
All right, let's come to the other question that everybody wants to know. Ayan says, I've been interested in Blue Maho for some time now and would like to know how we can invest. Well, you've been hinting at it all evening about your upcoming listing on, or potential listing on the NASDAQ. So tell us what's happening there.
So there's a lot I'm not allowed to say, really, because SEC rules are very, very specific. We are able to raise right now from the general public in the U.S., retail investors and general solicit over the next 12 months because of some exemptions that we qualify for there. Now, when we get to a certain number in stockholders' equity, we are qualified to then be listed on NASDAQ. So we need to do what's called a PCAOB audit. Most people hear audit, they think US GAAP, or in Jamaica, in the rest of the world, is actually IFRS. So we have to get audited financial statements. We already have an investment bank in place. I can be very transparent about that. Our offering memorandum is almost done, and so we're making some tweaks there. And the key thing for us now is building out the board. We have to have more independent directors than people like me, who are shareholders. And then we need to have a chair for the audit committee who is independent. So we're interviewing some people for that one. But we're very far along, a lot further along than most people realize. I'm not allowed to even say the timing other than we intend to get it done before the end of this year. We do see an opportunity to launch something here in Jamaica. In fact, more than one thing in Jamaica that might not be investing in Blue Maho itself, but is essentially doing the same thing. So we intend to do a U.S. property fund we've been asked to do here. So a domicile in the Caribbean investing in U.S. real estate. A few pension funds have asked us to do that. So that would be listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange. An investment bank has asked us to do that this year. So we're excited to give Jamaican something where you put in Jamaican dollars and earn U.S. income from U.S. property. So that's one. Ooh. And then we will be launching a value fund, and I intend to have that listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange before the end of this year. So Warren Buffett is a value investor. We think that today is the best time to invest in the Jamaica Stock Exchange, to buy companies listed on this market. Because when you think about how Jamaica had the best performing stock exchange for 5 years, well, you should have gotten in before it became the best performing. Right now, things are on sale. You can find really good companies at attractive valuations, but it has to be an actively managed fund. The hedge fund I used to work at was a value-focused hedge fund, long biased, no more than 20 companies. And I loved the way that we did that, but that was US only. We want to do the same thing here in Jamaica instead, buying JSE listed companies open to Jamaicans, but we'll also buy into some US companies that we consider to be valued. So it will be a mix of local and US stocks.
Now, Strong Link says main market or junior market?
It's going to have to be main market. Junior market will be too small for the capital we want to be able to deploy into the US and the Jamaican market. So we need to go main market.
So you're looking at two listings before the end of the year, one in the US on the NASDAQ and one here in Jamaica.
At least one in Jamaica, yes.
At least. You're going to have a busy 2024, David.
Well, we've had a busy 4.5 years. COVID was the only thing that slowed us down. I was able to sit down with Michael Leach in June 11th of 2019. And Mike helped us set the plan where we would go. He focused a lot on the fact that we needed to create an asset management business. So the idea, he simply asked, you want to build a Berkshire Hathaway? And I love it. What if Berkshire had owned Blackstone before it sold BlackRock. BlackRock is the one that does iShares, focuses on retail investors. Blackstone does the private equity and the real estate funds. Berkshire is a parent company. And I said, wow, that's brilliant. So Blumenhoe Holdings is like a Berkshire Hathaway. We can build the houses, sell the houses. It can own the asset management business. It can own a stake in Sprit. It can work with MAPEX for private credit. But then Blumenhoe Capital needs to manage funds. It's an asset management business. So we want to give retail investors access to what the 1% invest in to generate their wealth and to preserve their wealth. So that's what it is, give people access. And that's why we need to start with the US property fund for Caribbean investors to get access. And then we want to create this value fund once again to give Caribbean investors access, and in a way that is not charge them insane fees. This is not 2 and 25 and these numbers. We're talking about 0.5 and 5. If you look at ETFs in the US, those are the numbers. Actively managed ETFs are in the 0.5 to 0.75% range. The asset managers don't get rich just because they're charging those fees. It has to be that your performance is better than the market. And that's how you earn your fees. That's how I believe. That's how I was raised. All the funds I work with, that's how it was done. And I think it's about time that we have some innovation in the market that is beneficial to retail investors, because not all of them have time to watch Taking Stock and to go and check out the individual stories for each of these companies and track what is happening. You want somebody who day to day, that's what they're doing. And we have somebody on the ground in Jamaica that we're really excited to have. He's been on the team for the last 4 years, Jason Francis, and that allows us to have our ears to the ground in Jamaica and know what's happening with these companies.
Wonderful. Well, there's a lot of excitement amongst our viewers. I'm excited based on what I'm hearing. Looking forward to linking up in a couple months' time to see the development and how it progresses in Old Harbor. Thank you so much for joining us, David.
Thank you for having me, Kalila.
Awesome. So we're going to take a break. Just before the break, I'll read one last comment from Inga, who says, this sounds like a wonderful idea. I'm happy someone is looking out for the ordinary citizens. We'll take a break for market recap, and we'll be right back with the analysts.
This segment of Taking Stock was brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency. Insurance made easy.
If you had 10 minutes with a billionaire, what advice would you ask? Billionaire Michael Leachin is coming back to Money Media for the next installment of Ask Mike, and you could be one of 5 people to get personal finance advice from him. Check out some of our previous mentees.
You have to do both, Roberto. You have to work on the business and in the business. Borrowing to invest. Borrowing to invest. That has been pivotal to how I create, to how wealth is created.
The link is in the description. Let's get this money. Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KalilaReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JC Combined Index was mostly flat last week. 117 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week, ending Friday, January 19, 2024. 42 made gains, 62 lost value, and 13 stayed the same. 99 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $541 million. Wigton was last week's most traded stock. It took up 15% of market volume, with 15 million shares trading. The stock lost 6 cents to open the new week at 82 cents. Trans-Jamaican traded the second highest. The stock gained 19 cents to open this week at $2.98. And Jamaica Producers rounded out last week's most traded, with 5 million shares changing hands. The stock lost 38 cents to open Monday at $22.02. Now let's see who are the biggest gains for the week. 138 Student Living Variable Preference was the market's biggest gainer. The stock was up 45% open Monday at $192.28. First Rock Real Estate Investments was up 33% to start the new week at $8.47. And KLE was the week's third biggest gainer. It was up almost 23% open the new week at $1.84. On the losing side now, Caribbean Cream was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost $1.04 to open Monday at $3.41. Margaritaville Turks USD was the week's second biggest loser, opening the new week at $0.10 US. and Cygnus Credit Investments USD lost almost 18% to close the week at 7 cents US. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index gained 8 points last week. Massey was the most traded stock. The stock lost 1 cent open this week at $4.44 TT. Angostura Holdings was the biggest gain of the week. The stock was up 8% to start the week at $21.64 TT. And on the losing side, Trinidad Cement fell 5% to open Monday at $3 TT. Over in the US, the Dow Jones was flat last week, while the S&P 500 was up by 1% and the Nasdaq by 2%. Motorists saw an increase at the pumps last week. Gas prices went up 25 cents, while regular diesel climbed $3.05 and low sulfur diesel gained $3.04. In foreign exchange, it took an average $156.08 Jamaican to purchase one US dollar last Friday. That's 20 cents less than the week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $116.49 Jamaican to purchase one Canadian dollar. One British pound cost on average $197.90 Jamaican. And you could buy 1 euro for $171.24 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices were down 4% over the past 5 days, trading at $40,846 US on Monday. Ethereum prices dipped 6%, trading at $2,375 US on Monday. This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, is brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. So just before I introduce our analyst for this evening, I forgot to tell you about our poll for tonight. So last week we had the opposition leader Mark Golding here on Taking Stock, and he was calling for a commission of inquiry into SSL. So do you think that we should have a commission of inquiry into SSL? Take our poll on the community tab here on YouTube or on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, now X. A, yes, this investigation should be done ASAP. B, what will it accomplish or achieve? C, let the current investigation play out. Or other, leave a comment. Do you think that there should be a commission of inquiry into SSL? Let us know in the comments and by taking our poll. Also, yesterday, last night, inside the Money Mission community, we spoke to attorney at law Chantal Simpson all about starting up a business. We had a webinar called Business Startup Basics. So here's a small clip of how that went. By the way, so you can change your name. I've changed my name twice, my company name. I started out as Kalila Ray Media, and for some reason I decided I wanted to be Kalila Reynolds Media, and now we're Money Media. So that's something that you can do as well. How does that work?
So again, you know, just with everything else at a company's office, it's really just filings. But the key thing is passing a resolution. So a resolution is basically a vote of the members of the company. You're the sole member now, two people. So it was very easy. It's easier in that situation. So you pass the requisite vote to change the name, and you have to submit the application to the registrar for her to approve the change of name. And that's because, as you remember, Kalila, we have to get the names registered or reserved first, right? So the registrar will look at different things when determining whether you can get a particular name. One of them is the name similar to another name on the register? If it's too similar, you wouldn't get it. I honestly didn't think you were going to get Money Media.
I don't think so either. When I announced it, it's because I already had it.
Yeah, but I didn't.
You did the name search for me. Announced.
Right. And so I remember when I said it, when I brought the name to the company's office to get registered, she looked at me like, you know, you're not getting this name, right? And I told her, I was like, well, I already have a reservation. And she was confused. But yes, yeah, so we got Money Media. So that's one of the main things you do first. You check to see that you have the name reserved first, just in case you don't get it. So they look at different things that also look at, is the name vulgar? You can't register a name that has expletives or anything like that. There are also certain restricted words like Blue Mountain, etc.
So that's part of the conversation I had with corporate attorney and business accelerator Chantel Simpson last night inside Money Mission, talking about business startup basics. How do you register your business? What are some of the challenges? What should you do? How much will it cost? If you're interested in starting up a business in 2024, absolutely watch that episode. The link is in the description. And now we move on to our analyst for this evening, and I'm pleased to welcome back Clive. Clive Charlton is an equities trader at JMMB. I think it's their first time on this year. So is it too late to still tell people Happy New Year? Happy New Year, Clive. Welcome back to Taking Stock.
Same to you. Thanks for having me again.
Awesome. All right. So a couple of topics to discuss this evening. One is big news that we haven't even reported this yet. Probably other places have. But the Musson Group, Musson Jamaica, is about to acquire $1 billion worth of additional shares in Seprod. So explain, what are the implications for this? Because Musson already owns a stake in Seprod, right?
Yes, Musson's already owned through directly and to another subsidiary, about 24.4% and another nearly 8% of Seprod. Now, they've acquired a tad more, which brought them over that 50% limit. And 50% boundary, I should say. And of course, that triggers a stock exchange rule. Musson is a very large conglomerate, owned largely by our Caribbean, West Indian, Jamaican owner, you know, principals. And it operates in probably about, does business in probably about 30 countries, Caribbean, North America, Latin America, and beyond. And on the Jamaican market, it has several companies already listed that it has significant ownership structure in. They are, of course, PBS. Everyone knows Seprod. Yes, already have probably about 32-33% before this new acquisition. PBS General Accident. Of course, Ace Brighton, which is an indirect ownership through Seprod. Seprod owns about 62% of Ace Brighton, which is largely domiciled Ace Brighton in Trinidad. They aim to list it. It's now listed on our exchange. They aim to list it in Trinidad. So it, again, will provide some cross-listed trading opportunity, arbitrage opportunity for you, the investing public, right? Due to price differences. And of course, there are some other popular local companies that are private. Geddes Grant, who I've heard about that from Ross Small. We know about Canopy Insurance. And of course, there's Felton. So it's a very large conglomerate, multi-billion dollar, probably significantly valued. And it is taking up some additional shares in Seprod. And that has triggered a JC rule, regulation 12.1 and 26.1. And I think this rule, I can't say why this rule was created, but what it does, it gives you, the minority shareholder, an opportunity to decide whether you want to be a partner in this business with this significant shareholder. It's a mandatory offer that must be made. I don't believe they have an intention of delisting the company. No, I don't think so, because they have said that they will purchase a maximum additional amount of 13.948 million shares, and they have stated a price, and the stock price, the stock is now trading above that price. I've stipulated at $78 per share, and I've given some timelines, and that will be, you know, disseminated to you sometime later, and perhaps already to several brokers on the stock exchange website. That the stock is now trading in excess, trading at probably about $90 already. So again, that, and the stock is highly valued. In fact, our research recommendation as at last, our significant major research on it was last November, and it was recommended as a overperform, as a strong stock to buy. And I remember the stock when it was probably at about $29-$30 just a few years ago. Right, so buy stocks, especially now when prices are quite cheap. But back to that. So they must make this mandatory offer. I don't think they have an intention of delisting the stock. And that's not the first time. We have had significant takeover of companies, and they had to put forward that mandatory offer. But they have stated explicitly, as well as some, by how they structured the offer, had, you know, really had no intention of delisting. And this is the case with Seprod. So that they will spend in excess of 1 billion Jamaican dollars to acquire these shares. They're not telling you that you must sell. They're simply inviting you to sell. They must make that offer. So if you believe the company has good value and it is a significant part of your portfolio, then hold it. An indication of the value of this company is that since this offer was made, the stock price has surged. trading as high as $90.
I can imagine.
yes, so that is significantly above the offer price. So it means that, again, if you want to take advantage of this price movement, you can sell in the market now, hope that there's a correction later on after the offer has expired, and then you can buy it back. So there are various little tactics you can use to maximize this opportunity. But as it is now, they must make that mandatory offer, and they have. And the lead broker in that, of course, is GMMB Securities. But you can buy to execute the transaction to any brokerage house.
Strong link, sir. Come better than that, $120, just right. Don't be greedy, strong link. Come on,
well,
now.
Well, I'm sure it will. Since acquisition of Ace Bryden, there probably has been a 300% increase in revenue. Of course, acquisition does that. You're amalgamating line items, including revenue, you know, profit, cost structure, balance sheet, you name it. So that has happened. In addition to that, we know Separate went to appear that one of their major warehouses was burnt down and they were spending big money in 2021. Well, with the new warehouse, that cost would have, you know, dissipated in 2022. So the point is that just going back several years back, the stock was cheap, quite cheap. It was $4. I remember one time in lieu of the cash dividend, the offered shares in Epley. So this company has really been significantly beneficial to the investing public. They have rewarded significantly the investing public, and there's much more value left in it. Mm-hmm. So
they're a great dividend paying company.
And from what I know about their business operations, they are contributing significantly to the development and growth of micro and small businesses in terms of their productive facility that they offer to many small young entrepreneurs just coming into the manufacturing business.
So Separate, definitely one to watch for 2024. Yes. Another major bit of news, Clive, is the Bank of Jamaica planning to introduce an electronic Know Your Customer database later this year. So what's that all about, and how will this change the banking system? We actually spoke about it last night with Chantal and Moni Michel.
It's interesting. We think of competition as simply pricing and maybe costing or the availability of a volume of goods, and we call that competition. But sometimes the way we do business, the ease of doing business, is the first start in freeing up resources, freeing up business enterprise, and therefore, you know, making the environment more competitive. Interestingly, I don't want to divert too much from this, but remember the government, through the regulatory authorities several years back, spoke about the portability of telephone cell numbers. So it makes it easy now. That drives competition. Why? If you can easily move your number and keep that same number that you have had for X plus years, the competitors will have to tighten up in terms of how they offer your service and costing. In the banking sector, though, KYC, one of the mitigating factors of persons moving account or moving funds from one bank to the other is that opening a new account elsewhere is very tedious. It is one of the hardest in Jamaica. And persons will tell you from any walk of life, including business corporations, that opening an account, the KYC, the due diligence required, is so significantly onerous that it prevents them from taking the next step. So what the BOJ is doing is creating a template or a central unit, almost like a depository where you can deposit the shares and then move it across different entities as you feel like. But the information here now is that when you wish to move, rather than collecting that information from the individual having the effort of finding your reference, all these different bills, you know, proving your income, your transaction history, all of that will be in a database, and it can be easily accessed by the new entity that you wish to open the new account with. So the ease of doing business, again, is what also aids and assists the competitiveness of the environment. And it lowers cost across the board, because it means then that the cost of this transaction, which many times you are charged for paper, they will tell you processing fees that should be reduced, perhaps eliminated. It means also that because you can move your investable resources from one entity to the next, entities might be forced to offer you better returns on your funds. So it really aids the economy, it aids in investing public, it aids the individual, and it betters the company too, who through time gets more efficient and leaner.
Wonderful. I hope this comes into effect very soon, because trust me, the regulations are just too much. So before we go, Clive, have a question. Well, it's not a question, it's a comment, but I'm going to ask a question based on this comment. Nana Sen says, Seprod is overvalued at a P ratio of 21. Now I'd rather buy Massey. So what's the play here, Seprod or Massey?
Okay. PE 21. Okay. Well, I could revise that. I have a little lower PE here. Massey is, Seprod is in the food processing distributive manufacturing business. Massey is a more broader conglomerate. Massey is into finance. It was in insurance. It is in distribution. It is in retailing, supermarket, etc. And, you know, food processing. So it's much, much broader, much, much bigger. And it is in a broader market. Seprod is largely domiciled in Jamaica. Of course, it has a significant ownership of Ace Bread, and that is in Trinidad, right? So they are slightly differentiated in terms of their size and their reach. Massey is in several countries, including manufacturing and distributing facilities in several countries, including some Latin American countries. So let me look at the metric here. Now, I have Seprod here. Well, you said 21, you're probably 21 times. I have a little less PE here. Of course, just compared to the sector, I have a manufacturing sector. Again, we might differ in little minor, in minor ways. I put it among the group of Berger, Cement, Broilers, Salada, Seprod, and Wisinko. I know like Salada, Seprod, Wisinko may be considered in the same business lines and probably easier comparable. Let me look at the of Massey. Let me see. I should have that. And I'm looking at a sheet here and I'm searching for the information. So please just see with me. And my eyesight is not so good. And the sheet has so much information that I really have to, you know, strain my eyes a little bit. All right. But I'm just looking for some metric here for Massey. Okay. Massey Holdings. Yes, Massey is cheaper. Just using the metric of price to earnings, that is the PE, which is the earnings per stock unit. PE, price earnings ratio. You pay a particular price for a stock, $1. It is the profitability of each stock unit, and a lower PE, right, means that the stock price is cheaper per $1 earnings. You're paying less, so you're paying. Well, I have a figure here of 9.92 PE for Massey, which is lower than Seprod that I have here of about 15 plus. Right? So Massey is definitely much cheaper. But there are other dynamics here that you should consider. Massey is cross-listed, yes, so you can take advantage of arbitrage opportunity. Seprod isn't. That's another plus for Massey. But because it's domiciled in Trinidad, it is subjected to the macroeconomic, you know, movements, fiscal policies of the Trinidadian government, etc. So that is another risk factor that you may have to think of and consider. Its operations is diversified, though, more so than Trinidad, which means that it has revenue coming from different streams, different entities, well diversified different currencies. So that makes it a little bit more safer. And I think it has potential for growth. And because it recently sold this insurance business, it is well capitalized. So I don't think it is short of capital at all. It presents a good buy. I would say, though, that you would not want to. It's a matter of balancing your portfolio. You should acquire a little of Massey, yes, but you should also have a little of the Seprod. And also consider dividend yield. I believe, though, I should have the figure here that the Massey dividend yield might be a little higher than the Seprod.
So Massey, really? I thought buy. It was lower. I feel like Seprod paid nice and Massey kind of...
Well, Seprod has increased... Nice. Yeah, Seprod has increased their dividend payout recently, but Massey is in a stronger currency. That's one. And they also have increased their dividend payout. Massey is a good stock and a good company to invest in.
So either or? Just buy both?
I would say both. There are some differences to them that the risk profile is slightly differentiated because of the nature of the business, where they're domiciled, the whole economic conditions that can be impacted by them, fiscal conditions of the respective country. Seprod is domiciled in Jamaica, Massey is domiciled in Trinidad, right? The diverse market, they are differentiated slightly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. And just to reiterate to our viewers, this is not financial advice. Although Clive is a financial advisor, he is not your specific financial advisor. So please consult your licensed advisor, yes, preferably there at JMMB, for exactly for financial advice specific to your goals and needs. And Clive's contact information is in the description as well, if you want to link up with him and with JMMB. Thank you so much, Clive. That was great.
You're most welcome. And thanks for having me again.
Awesome. We'll take our final break and come back with your last comments.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analysts, was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Hi, my name is Ashantia Stewart. I am a business owner, the CEO of Ascendev, a digital marketing brand that assists business owners with growing online. Now, the money mission community that Kalila Reynolds have, I would recommend it to each and every business owner because it is an environment in which you can meet like-minded entrepreneurs, in which if you have challenges in your business, you can go ahead and ask someone who has been there, who has done that. And with the launch of this event today, it was a true testament to how great the community is because individuals showed up. You got to network and you got to be in a place where in which it is not just you alone who has a mindset of growth. You had a place where in which individuals have been through the challenges. You have a place where in which you're getting insights into the industry. So I would recommend everyone to tap into it if you're an entrepreneur, if you're looking for growth, or if you're simply someone who wants to learn more. Thank you.
All right, final comments from you, the viewers. Tyler says, Blumaho is giving access to retail investors around the world to invest in Jamaica and the wider Caribbean, echoing the excitement of a lot of you in the comments. Oren says, there's no doubt the economy is doing well, construction booming. Any stocks on your favorite list for 2024? See, I don't give out my personal list, you know, because people go buy things and say, Kalila say, and I cannot be held responsible or accountable for your investment decisions. I'm not a licensed financial advisor. Who Am I says, no speculative stock investment in 2024. Buy stocks with earnings and a clear path to continued growth. Novar says he finds the conversation with David very interesting for reasons of which David must be aware. Okay, Novar. Denise says, my family has some ideal land in Boys Content, 8 miles from Old Harbor. We need a partner to develop. She wants to know if David is interested. David, could reach out to Denise and see. Inga Baby wanted to know, why are we still making one-bedroom homes in 2024? We should build one-bedroom condos or apartments, but not houses. One, Old Harbor has the space, I would say. And then two, that's what there is demand for. People want houses. People want space. People want yard for their children, not just apartments. So there is a lot of demand for that. And if you don't want that, you don't have to buy it. There are lots of apartments being built, especially in Kingston. But depending on where you are, you're going to pay more for it. Sean says, boy, you sell me already. Time to start liquidating some assets because this sounds good, talking about the Blumaho development. Spartan says, this was a very interesting episode. It sure was. Stronglink says, yes, to borrow to invest, not borrow to clear debt. Dr. Lithium says he can't wait for the tax webinar. Absolutely, that's coming up in Money Mission in February because you're going to have until March to file your taxes. So we're doing a tax webinar in Money Mission in February. Devon wanted to know what's happening with JMMB share price. Clive is already gone. Roswell says Apple makes up about 50% of Berkshire Hathaway. The dividend is good from Apple, so it's a good way that Blumaho is going with local stock in good traded companies. Stronglink making the point when read that conversation between Seprod versus Massey. He says, yes, you pay less for Massey, but future earning potential has to be considered. And then Shellyanne, ending on a whole mix-up note, saying, whatever happened to Jamdex? Now that I'm here, I don't hear the average Jamaicans talking about it, which means they are not using it. Should I comment? Not going to comment right now. Not tonight. Not tonight, Shelly-Ann. Thank you so much for joining me for yet another episode of Taking Stock Live. I appreciate your presence every single week. We have a lot coming up inside Money Mission and here on Money Media as well. You may have been seeing the call for applications for the next Ask Mike. That's our mentorship program with Michael Lee Chin. And that's going to be on Monday, January 29, here on YouTube. Money Mission members do get priority in selection. We're only choosing five. The link is in the description for you to apply for Ask Mike to be one of our mentees. If you're on my email list, you should have also gotten an email with the application form if you want to be the next person to be mentored by Michael Lee Chin, chairman of NCB, Jamaican Canadian billionaire, right? So apply for Ask Mike. What else is coming up? I have Ask Kalila coming up the following week, February 5th. And then the week after that, we also have, that's going to be the tax webinar, February 12th. And this weekend, how can I forget? Build Your Budget is here in person in Kingston. We're going to be planning out your financial year, making all those decisions as to what you're going to do, how you're going to make your plans, your goals, your money goals, and how are you going to achieve them. That is this Saturday. Check the description box for the link to register for Build Your Budget this weekend, and I shall see you on Saturday. Until next time, everybody, let's get this money.
Let's get this money.